last night thought they didn't play the right way for the most part, but Sully didn't agree after the game. It didn't sound like he was disappointed with a whole lot other than maybe a stretch in the second period, but it sounds like he didn't agree with the player's assessment. What did you think?
Well, they took their foot off the gas in the second period, and he alluded to that after the game, and so that was his disappointment. But really, I mean, they had a good first period, and the third period was okay. But, you know, I agree that they tried to get too cute with the puck last night after they got up, and you get into the second period, and then once Montreal scored, it's just, you know, it was just a series of self-inflicted wounds, right? I mean, it was just every one of those goals could be traced to a really bad decision by somebody, and I thought Letang and Marino had their worst game together as a pair. You know, even though I know Sullivan said after the game it was kind of funny that he thought Marino was their best defenseman, and that I don't know that I can really argue with that. But I would also say this: it wasn't Marino's best game. He got beat wide.
I was there
he
too,
got beat
Grover,
wide a couple times,
and yeah. I couldn't agree more on both Marino and Letang. I didn't think either one had a good game, but I thought what really turned the game, as it turned out. And Malkin has been so good at not taking dumb penalties. That was a dumb slash penalty he took in the offensive zone, and all of a sudden Montreal turned it into a power play goal, and they never looked back.
No, they didn't. And, you know, that has been one of the hallmarks of his turnaround this season is, you know, going into last night's game, he had three minor penalties in 19 games, which is really spectacular for him. And proof yet again that he's playing in a completely different way. And so last night, yeah, he took a bad penalty. But, you know, look what it took for that to turn into a goal, which was three guys overskating the puck in a matter of seconds. I mean, that puck should have been out of the zone without a problem. And the next thing you know, it's basically a 2-on-0 from 15, 20 feet out. So, you know, just poor execution on the special teams. And that's been a theme. I mean, you look at where the Penguins' power play is sitting this year. The Penguins' power play is just a major, major issue. And the penalty killing, as we know, after the first, you know, month or so of the season has been a problem. So special teams continue to be an issue for the Penguins, and it hurt them last night.
What would be your first fix for the power play? Is there one right now, something you'd try?
Well, I don't, you know, from a personnel standpoint, I don't think there's any big tweaks to go there. You know, he seems to be Sullivan. It's obvious to me that he came into this season saying, you know what, it's going to be a two defenseman look for me. And I'm fine with that, you know, but I will say this. I mean, as you know, a lot of teams don't do this anymore. Justin Schultz, for me, you know, he's just been average. They need more from him, and they need more from him specifically on the power play. You know, I understand the way Sullivan's thinking about how it can work with those two guys, and I agree with him, but it's not working that way. And Chris Letang, as much as I think he's integral to success they have on the power play, it's not a source of production for him this season. He just went through one of his longest stretches ever without a power play point in his whole career with Pittsburgh. So those two defensemen, yeah, they may help you prevent shorthanded goals, but they are not producing on the power play like they need to. So that's a starting point. I think the zone entry for the first unit's been an issue. The second unit sometimes seems to get in there okay, but I still don't like the way they're entering the zone. They're not getting set up efficiently. And here's the other thing. Once they do, they're not shooting the puck. So they need more shots. They need, and this is where he gets to talking about simplifying the game.
Bob, the wraparound goal by Armia that made it 3-1 or 2-1. I'm sorry, Weber's wraparound goal that made it 3-1. Who do you blame on that? It seemed like Marino got beat around the corner. It seemed like Letang didn't get over to cover for him on the other side. And I was talking to somebody in the press box who said Jarry didn't play it very well because he had his leg outside of the right post when the guy was coming around from the left side.
Well, all those things are correct, and all three guys are to blame. This is why I say
that can't happen, can it? That goal can't happen.
No, and Marino just didn't seem to anticipate, you know, where Weber was or how much speed he had because Weber beat him. So that's the one. That's the first situation. And then when Letang comes back, he decides to try and tie up the guy in front of the net. when for me, what he should be doing there as he's reading that play is going to the far post to try and beat the puck. So he doesn't have to, you know, he doesn't have to crush Weber, but maybe get his stick on that puck. And then the point about Jarry is absolutely correct. I mean, he got his footwork all wrong on that, and he couldn't push over and get over. So all three contributed to that, and that was just a killer goal last night.
Still a good story last night is that Jarry sets the Penguins franchise record for shutout streak. Grover, that's pretty significant, yeah. Yes?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, he was, you know, for a time there, as you get to the midway point when he set the record, he's half a game away from becoming the first goalie in Penguins history to pitch three shutouts in a row. That's spectacular he's been playing.
So how do you break it down now, the goaltending, as they head into the pre-Christmas break, where they'll get a nice 6 days off, by the way, so they almost can't help but still be in playoff position, you know, into the new year, it looks like.
Well, they should be. That's the way they should be approaching it. And you're right, you know, if you look at the schedule, you know, Jarry's now gotten 7 of the last 12 starts. So, you know, I know there are people out here who just, they want to know where the number one label's got to go on somebody, they feel. And I don't feel that way, because right now, it's obviously they're sort of splitting the duties at the moment. I mean, 7 out of 12 starts is not what Sullivan gives his number one goalie. You know, 9 out of 12 is what he gives a number one goalie. So Jarry's not the number one, but you can, I mean, I'm with you if you want to say, well, sort of, you know, Murray's not the number one either. They're kind of splitting it, and they are, and as it should be. I mean, right now, that's just, you know, so I kind of think Murray's going to play here against Columbus, because it didn't work out well last game against them. And then you'll see, you'll probably see Jarry come back, you know, for the weekend game against the Kings. So, you know, you put the guy out there who gives you the best chance to win. And right now, you can't ignore Matt Murray. You're not going to sit him for 3 weeks. But right now, I mean, even with last night's game, and we just talked about one mistake Jarry made, he made a number of really good saves, or that game could have gotten away from them before that.
Bob, it seems to me, and I know it's early December and a lot of hockey left, but these are it's a pretty important week for them, isn't it, to try to hang in? Or they already lost a point or two last night to Montreal, which I think is not a very good team. You have Columbus coming in here. They're way below 500, 12, 14, and 4. And then the Kings come in. They're, what, the last-place team in the West? You can't give up points at home against these kind of opponents, can you?
No, and the Penguins have been playing great at home. So, but you're right. I mean, these are two winnable games. Columbus had been struggling until they beat the Caps the other night. And so you just got whacked by them in Columbus. So you should have some extra motivation to play well against them. And then you've got, that you just mentioned, a Kings team, just a bad hockey team in Los Angeles. So these are not only, they're obviously winnable, but these are games the Penguins need to win. Because you look where they are, you know, and, you know, the Caps keep going, the Islanders keep going, the Canes are right on their tail, the Flyers are above them still. It's early, but it isn't early.
Bob Grove, our hockey columnist, 93.7 The Fan, longtime Penguins observer. And Grover, Juuso Riikola is a curiosity to me. Last year in training camp, he was one of the stars of camp. And I had hopes this year that he would be one of those guys, and there's always somebody that a bunch of injuries creates an opportunity. And I thought, all right, this is his chance. He's going to step in, get a lot of minutes. And I had confidence that he was going to perform. What's happened to him?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'll be honest with you, because I think the thing I didn't like about him as he played more and more last season was when I watched him play last season, I said to myself, he is still adjusting to the North American game. He is still trying to do things and taking some risks that don't work here. And I think, you know, I think that led to him basically not playing much, you know, at all. And I thought when I watched him earlier this season, when he finally got into the lineup and through the preseason, and early, I thought he got a lot of that out of his game. He seemed to be more dependable to me. I like a lot about him because he's a little chippy. He's got a little bit of a physical edge. He's got a hammer of a shot from the point,
yes.
And the guy can skate. So I'm with you. Like I'm really, you know, I'm surprised that he's now even with these injuries, he's just on the outside looking in. And, you know, part of the issue is you got Ruido, who's a right shot, and he's not a right shot. So that's become a big thing for the coaching staff. So that's the issue, I guess. But I still think this guy can contribute a lot.
Bob Grove brought to you by Ken Ganley Toyota of Pleasant Hills. Dominic Simone is a recurring topic here. I offered a public apology earlier this season because I thought he was playing great, and now I've since rescinded that apology, Grover. He's shooting 2-for-58 from the field. Come on. You got to score once a month, right?
Yeah, I know people get all worked up about Dominic Simone. And I mean, where I come down on this is, you know, I think he's obviously, he's an NHL player. He's a bottom six player. And I think the only thing I don't like about, he just doesn't have the hands to finish. I mean, that's just a fact.
How is he a bottom six player? Because I don't see him as a top six player because he can't score. And I also don't see him profiling as a bottom six guy. Not that he's not good enough, but how does he contribute to your bottom six?
I absolutely have no problem with him. My problem is him getting top 6 minutes. I just don't see it. But I don't have a problem with him being on the bottom six. I mean, he's a decent skater. For me, he anticipates well. He goes to pucks. He ends up winning a decent amount of pucks. I mean, he's got a pretty good defensive, attitude about the game. Like, I see a lot of good things in him. He just, his detractors, a lot of them, just have to get over the fact that not all players can score. And he's just not a guy who's going to ever put up big numbers. But that doesn't mean he can't do other things in the game. And I think as a bottom six guy, I don't have an issue with him. But, I would also say last couple of games, he's not been, the best we've seen of him. But he's shown me enough that he could be a contributor in the bottom six.
How about Galchenyuk?
Well, it's a disaster. I mean, there's no other way to look at this.
Bob, don't sugarcoat it. Say what you mean, okay?
I mean, we are a couple of weeks from being halfway through the season, and here's Galchenyuk. He's on your fourth line. He's getting 9 or 10 minutes a night. It's a disaster. So, the obvious thing I think you try to do is move him. There have been various reports this week that the Sabres had some interest in him. You know, good luck trying to move him for anything of help because the guy's, his contract is expiring. He's having a terrible season, So if Buffalo thinks he can help him, maybe. But I don't know what the answer is for the Penguins. But, I mean, he's just – and look, the guy's putting in an effort. That's not the question. The guy's not dogging it. I don't see that. He's not a great skater. And he needs somebody to get him pucks. But when he's had them, he's not converted the number of chances you would expect. And quite frankly, he's not getting as many shots as you'd want him to have. So even when everybody gets healthy, I don't know where he fits in. And he's certainly not going to be playing with Malkin. And, for him to be a fourth line guy getting 8 minutes, 9 minutes a night, it just isn't helping your hockey club. So I'd move him if I could, but it wouldn't be easy.
Why is this happening, Bob? I mean, he's got on the back of his bubble gum card, he's got some production. I mean, you think he'd come here with a Malkin and flourish. What do you see that isn't working?
Yeah,
well, obviously he's not playing with Malkin now. I get that.
Well, he had his chance, and I mean, it didn't work for him. So it's hard to really look at Evgeny Malkin's season this season and say, well, it's Malkin's fault, because it's not
right.
Malkin's fault, and so I look at Galchenyuk. So he had 130 goal year with the Canadiens, and he was he was fairly productive last year for Arizona, but again, he did a bunch of his damage, especially in the goal-scoring department, on the power play in Arizona. And he's getting second-unit time at best here. So he's getting mop-up minutes. He's out for the last 40 seconds of a power play. It's not – that environment for him is not conducive to him scoring a ton of goals. So I think his lack of power play time and lack of power play production, I don't know if it's he doesn't feel the system fits him. This system – that Sullivan plays is built for guys who skate, and he's not a great skater. He's not a bad skater, but he just doesn't move as easily as a lot of guys on this team, so that's a problem for him too.
Bob Grove brought to you by Ken Ganley, Toyota of Pleasant Hills. The time is 1217, brought to you by DQE Communications. For reliable business internet, depend on DQE. So you look at the East here, Grover, and teams that I'm going to pick a couple teams that are out of it here, and you tell me which of these you think will make a strong run for the playoffs. Which of these you think will wind up in the top eight? Montreal, Toronto, Tampa, the Rangers, or somebody else?
Well, Tampa for sure. And I mean, there's something wrong in Tampa, but there's just way too much talent on that team for them to not even get in the playoffs. That's hard for me to comprehend. The second team on my list would be Toronto with an asterisk. I'm not one of these. You know, I entered the season thinking Toronto, this might be Toronto's year to go far, but they're not good enough defensively, and it's not Freddie Anderson. I mean, he's really good. But their defense is not good enough, and their commitment to playing defensive hockey is not good enough. So I'm on the border about the Leafs. But out of that group, it would be Tampa and then Toronto.
Okay. So we have Tampa's in, maybe Toronto. So of the teams that are in the playoffs right now, I'll take out Caps, Bruins, Islanders. After that, which one or two of these teams are most vulnerable to dropping out?
Well,
Flyers,
Flyers,
Hurricanes, Sabres, Panthers.
Hurricanes will get there. Yeah, it's for me, it's Flyers and Panthers. The Flyers have had a pretty good season, let's face it. I still think they're a border team. And look, Florida is there despite Bobrovsky. And I'm just going to tell you, if he doesn't get it together, I don't think they'll make it. So, and you know what? I think Buffalo is for real. I think Buffalo is going to get there this year. Right now, Jack Eichel's just playing on another planet. And I don't see that changing. They could use another goal scorer, to be honest with you. I think they were hoping a guy like Sherry might be able to do more for him than he's done. But, you know, that's sort of who I feel might fall out.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, hey,
Grover.
You know what? Maybe Galchenyuk will be that guy for them, Grover.
Hey, look, the thing is, remember, if he goes there, it's a different scenario. Now he's going to get, if they were to make a trade for him, he's going to get more playing time. He's maybe going to get first unit power play time. So, you know, that's not as talented a team depth-wise as he has here in Pittsburgh. So it could work out for them. Absolutely, it could work out for them.
Maybe they can get a package deal. Galchenyuk and Dominic Simone, it'll be a bonanza for them, Grover. percent chance the Penguins make the playoffs, and we'll finish with that.
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
That they make the playoffs? I'm going to say 80%. I don't see them. I mean, yes, it's competitive and they could miss, but I really think this team's done too many things good for too long this season to think that they're somehow going to fall off. When they get healthy, I think they'll be fine. Might even be more than 80.
7-4-3 right now without Sid. That's still pretty good, isn't it?
It's real good. It's absolutely real good. And I mean, you know, they've had if you look back at last night's game, guys, that's not different from a few other games this season where they've generally, in that 60-minute time, did a lot of good things, played some good hockey, but had some self-inflicted wounds there that just absolutely killed them, or 20 minutes where they just took a vacation, like last night. And they got to get that out of their system. Then they got to figure out how can we play 60 minutes more consistently. But there's so many good things about what they're doing, especially defensively, that once they get healthy, and my God, this can't continue with the injuries. I think they're going to be fine.
Grover, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Thanks.